Okay, well, there's about six people awake this day. Good morning. There we go. Man, y'all were talking about the storms, and whew, I was in Nashville. Well, just outside of Nashville when the storms hit there a couple of nights ago, and I'm a pretty heavy sleeper. All right, like I'm, you know, when Jesus was asleep during that storm, like that's me. Like I'm. You know, tornado comes through, takes the house off the foundation. I'm still going to be laying in my bed. Like, I'm not going to know that it happened. And we're staying with a friend of mine, and man, like, it woke me up three different times. I mean, just the thunder hitting and just jarring the house. And I'd never seen lightning that was constant. Like, it just looked like somebody was turning a flashlight on and off. Like, it wasn't like the typical, like, big thunder and then the lightning, and it was just flashing light in the sky. And I was like, this might be getting serious here. my buddy lives literally in the woods. Like, you drive off of the road and back into the woods is where Bruce's house is. And I'm like, Bruce, this might not be the best location for a thunderstorm like this. But thankfully, we made it back yesterday, and we're glad to be here today. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be in the book of John, but in several different places in the book of John. We're going to start off in John chapter 14, and we're going to talk about a familiar individual whose name is Thomas. All right, and everybody know Thomas, right? We know Thomas as what? Doubting Thomas. That's right. So we know Thomas as the doubter, but as I typically, you know, tend to do, I try to find the best in people. And as I was reading about Thomas, it really came to realization of me that, you know, everything about Thomas wasn't so bad. Thomas gets this nickname from this one event that we will talk about a little bit later on. But this morning I want to look at some of the other events of Thomas in his life that we see throughout the scripture. And as we look at these events, I wanted to kind of, if we could, if the Lord be our help, a modern day Thomas. You know, you hear those songs like modern day Jonah and things like that. And looking at how many modern day Thomases do we have around? And as we look in the Bible this morning, I would like to look at some of these events that we see with Thomas. So if we start in John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 1. And very familiar scripture here. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" So let's stop right there for just a second, because, man, how many sermons have we ever heard on just those first four verses, right? I mean, you know, and verse 6 is that very powerful verse that Jesus comes back with that says, "I'm the way." You know, Thomas, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." But look at what Thomas says. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whitherest thou go, and how can we know the way?" Thomas wanted to know the way. That's a positive thing about Thomas. How many people in our society today could care less about the way? You know, we get into this society that we have today, and people could care less about God. They could care less about heaven. They could care less about their eternal salvation. Thomas wanted to know. Jesus, wherever you're going, I want to know too. Like, tell me where you're going. Tell me how to get there. All right? Yesterday, you know, I'm not a passenger a whole lot whenever I go places. I like to drive. All right? Mostly because it's trust issues. You know, it's like if I know if I'm behind the wheel and I'm controlling the gas and I'm controlling the brake, I'm not going to promise we're not going to have a wreck, but I'm pretty confident that I can handle most situations. And yesterday, me and my buddy Phil, he had went with me to down toward Nashville there, and we had went fishing for a little while, and we were coming back, and And man, I'm a sucker for ice cream. All right, I'm sure you couldn't tell that by looking at me, but you know, I love ice cream. And we stopped by this gas station after fishing and stuff, just to wash our hands. And there was a Dairy Queen that was connected to the gas station. And I said, "Hey, Phil." I was like, you want an ice cream, man?" He's like, "No, I'm really not." You know, he's like, "I've got some oranges in the cooler, whatever." And I'm like, "All right, you're lost." And so I get this ice cream, and we're walking out to the parking lot, and I've got this Blizzard, that Jurassic Chomp Blizzard. Those are phenomenal. I absolutely love those. I hope they don't, like, after the movie gets out of the theaters and stuff, I hope they keep making those. But I'm standing there, and I'm like, looking at this ice cream, and I'm looking at my truck, and I'm looking at Phil empty-handed, and I'm like, "Hey, here." And I throw him the keys, and he's like, "What?" I'm like, "I'm going to eat my ice cream. You drive." And so we're driving, you know, and the storm, you know, it's still been raining and stuff, and Phil didn't know the way back to my house from where we were. You know, Phil lives up in Elizabethan and spent a lot of time in Piney Flats, and he didn't know a lot about backdoor Jonesboro kind of thing. And so, like, I'm sitting there just, you know, eating my ice cream and stuff, and Phil's like, "Brother, where do I go? Like, where do I turn?" I'm like, "You might need to know that." Like, "Okay, second red light up here, take a right." You know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just talking, and I'm playing on my phone, and driving, and I'm like, whoa, hey, turn right here. What are you doing?" And he's like, "I don't know the way." And a lot of times that's how we are in life. Man, we just don't know the way. Thomas didn't know the way. But glory to God, he had the right person that he could ask to know the way. And he asked the right person the right question. He said, "Jesus, Lord," we're going to talk about that word Lord a little bit later, "we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus showed him the way. Jesus gave him the answer that he was looking for. Now, I gave Phil the answer he was looking for. It was just having to slam on the brakes and turn right real quick. But Jesus showed him the easiest path there was, the only path that there was to get to where Christ was going to go. You see, Thomas here, that was a good event in Thomas's life. Not only did Thomas know the right person to ask, he asked the right question, and he got the right answer. And it gave us an answer that we needed in our lives too. Because here's the true fact of the matter. We can go through our lives as blind can be. And we can go through our lives all on us. And that's a path that leads to destruction. Unless we follow the way, the straight and narrow, the only way, follow the Jesus way, we're headed for trouble. And you know, a lot of times I see this, we tend to think that we kind of got things figured out, right? Like, we tend to think, "I got this, I'm good to go." You know, as I was visiting my friend down there, the property that we hunt on down there, I've hunted on that property since I was 13 years old, all right? I know just about every tree, every rock, everything about that land, all right? I've been there. I've been all over that place, all right? Mostly because when I was young, my dad and his friends would kill deer, and I'd be the one to have to go walk and drag them out, okay? So I've been all over that mountain. But it has grown up a lot in the last 3 or 4 years. And I would walk up through places that I thought were pretty familiar. And I didn't have a clue where I was. I would walk up through places and it's like, man, like, okay, this doesn't look the same at all. You see, that's what happens with us a lot of times. When we decide to kind of take that exit and we kind of just steer off our life on our own way, we hit some places that we think are pretty familiar. But we hit a wall and we're like, whoa, wait a minute. Everything's changed. Why has it changed? Because we've not followed the way. We've not followed Christ. So one event here that we see from Thomas is that Thomas wants to follow Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. Thomas was one of the 12, right? One of the disciples. Thomas knew Christ. He knew the things of Christ. Now, second event that we're going to look at is over in John 11, starting in verse 7. Thomas, the one that we call the doubter, he was faithful to Jesus. Now, he gets a bad rap for being the doubter, but Thomas was faithful to Jesus. And if we look starting in verse 7, John 11, verse 7, Bible says, "Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 16, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, which means the twin, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. He was faithful to Christ, even to a point that he was going to die with Christ. And the rest of these disciples are like, whoa, Judea, whoa, wait a minute now, hold on. And Jesus, those are the people that were trying to stone you before. Remember that? Guys with the rocks, big dudes, rocks, you, not a good combination. We don't need to go back there. And he explains, look, Lazarus is dead. There's going to be a great thing that happened. I wasn't there, but I'm going to be going there, and this great thing's going to happen. And because this great thing's happened, you're going to believe, and we need to go. And here's Thomas the doubter, that says, let's just go die with him, guys. Come on, let's just go die with him. Man, that's a lot of faith. To be willing to say, I'm going to go die with Christ. Let's just go with him. You see, Jesus tells us in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thomas loved Jesus, even to a point he was willing to lay down his life for him. Now we know Thomas is the doubter, right? So not every event in Thomas's life was all bad. Thomas loved Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thomas was willing to die with Christ. So my question to you is this. Do you love Jesus? Now before you guys start saying, whoa, hold on. I'm not talking about like Columbine here, like, you know, little girl with a gun to her head, do you still believe in God? We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about, do you love Jesus enough to lay down your life? And I'm not talking about physically in death here. But I'm talking about laying down the worldly things. Laying down your worldly life. You see, Thomas was willing to go lay down this physical body if need be. But sometimes we as Christians aren't even willing to lay down our sin for Christ. You know, and that's one of the things that is so hard in this life is as we look and we see the things that we have with Christ, a lot of times we tend to say no to Jesus a lot. We tend to say no. I'm going to to stay right here. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. I don't want to step out and make that move. And I think about some of these people that have laid down their life and just followed God to the Congo. Give up everything they have, job, house, car, everything, and just go to the Congo. Man, could I do that? I don't know. Thank God he's never asked me to go, but I don't know. Can you just lay down your life, everything that you know in your life, to go pastor a church? To go be a deacon at a church? To teach Sunday school, to be a worship pastor? When you start looking at it that way, a lot of times we have that decision that we have to make. Can we just lay down our life as we know it, the things that we know, the things that we are comfortable with, and go follow Christ? That's a question we have to ask. Can we say we are willing to do whatever God wants us to do, even if it's going out on a limb on a major step of faith? Now, as we look at these two events with Thomas, Thomas wanted to follow Jesus. Thomas was willing to lay down his life to follow Jesus. But then, there was that one incident, right? The one that he's most famous for, right? The doubter, Thomas the doubter, you know? And that, you know, hey, it is who he is. It's part of him, right? You know, it's like one of the things that we see in our media so much is like in our media in today's society, it's like, man, this person over here, like I think of Tim Tebow, right? Like Tim Tebow, I'm not a big fan of Tim Tebow's Florida days, all right, because I'm a Tennessee guy and that hurts my heart to think about it. But I am a fan of Tebow himself. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what he does. You know, Tim Tebow could go out and win a playoff game against the Steelers, and he's still a terrible quarterback to the media. You know, they're going to talk about this stat and that stat. They want Tebow to look bad. You know, Tebow goes to play Major League Baseball, and he's hitting 300 and wins an all-star ballot there in the minors. But Tebow's a terrible baseball. He's a worse baseball player than he is a football player. You know, and the media really gives him – down the road, and they try to find every little thing that they can to make him look bad because of what Tebow stands for. And you look at that, and it's kind of like poor Thomas. It's like, you know, the man had this one thing, this one incident in the scripture, and he gets that title, Doubting Thomas, for the rest of it. The one guy that says, hey, come on, we'll just go die with Jesus, has one incident, and that's the reputation he gets. Maybe that's a lesson in itself, right? You watch yourself because that one incident could be the reputation you get. No matter how many good things you do, you know, that one incident may be the reputation you carry. That one's from him there. I didn't even have that in my notes, so thank you, Lord. But we look at this, and let's go into John chapter 20. John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. And we're going to talk about this one incident of Thomas. This one reputation moment that Thomas gets. Starting in chapter 20, starting in verse 24, the Bible says, and when he had said this, got my page tied together there. Starting in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now let's look at this one moment, because we can take a few things from this one incident with Thomas. All right, first of all, we do see that Thomas does have his doubt here, okay? That's where he gets his nickname, the Doubting Thomas, and those kinds of things. But let's look at where Jesus is here for a second, all right? Because Thomas is talking to his buddies. He's talking to the other disciples, all right? And let's be honest. I mean, they've seen a lot of stuff right now, okay? I mean, we read a scripture earlier that if you keep on going on, you're going to see where they get to see Lazarus being raised from the dead, all right? They've seen people getting healed. They've seen a lot of stuff, all right? So these guys are seeing Christ resurrected from the dead. How excited do you think these guys are going to be? All right, they're going to go tell everybody, right? I mean, they're going to want people to know. So they go run and they tell Thomas, Thomas, we seen Jesus. We seen him. Thomas is like, whoa, 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 hold on. Hold on now. All right. You gotta think about Thomas. Let's not be mean to Thomas here. Let's think about this. Last time Thomas saw Jesus, he's hanging on a cross being killed here, okay? So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. All right. Thomas saw him die. All right, what do you mean you saw Jesus? What do you mean you saw Jesus? No, all right. And then he goes into the whole, you know, if I stick my finger in the nail prints, if I stick my hand in the side, and he says this. Now, obviously, this had to be a tough moment for all the disciples. When Christ died, that was a tough moment. All right? We know how Peter dealt with that, right? Peter denied even knowing the man, right? Denied even knowing him, which in itself, me and Phil were talking about this the other day on the drive down, which in itself is amazing, all right? The fact that Peter denied even knowing Christ, but yet Christ still said, you're going to be the one that starts the church. What kind of grace is that he gave to Peter? You denied even knowing me, but you're the one that's going to start this church, all right? Pretty amazing grace that Jesus gives to Peter there. So Thomas, amongst his friends here, all right, saying, guys, look, slow down a minute, hold on. He was on a cross, all right, hammered in there. And you saw him? I don't believe it. No, not going to happen. No, forget it. Not going to believe it. But notice who wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said this. But yet he appears to Thomas and the others in that room and says, hey, Thomas, come here a minute. Come here a minute. Now how many times does that ever happen in your all's life, like with your parents? You know, that whole your parents know everything kind of thing? All right? I tell this story sometimes. I remember that time that whenever I got off the bus and my mom knew about me having the F before I ever got home kind of thing. It was like my first F, which was like one of my buddies' mom who taught the class. And, you know, I still tell her to this day. And I'm like, you gave me my first F. And she's like, no, you earned it or didn't earn it, however you want to look at that. But you know that feeling when you walk through the door, mom or dad standing there and says, hey, come here. Whew, this isn't going to be good. And I remember walking through that door that day, and my mom's like, hey, bring me that report card. Come here. All right. We didn't have cell phones back then, but that would have been a great time for me to text somebody and been like, all right, look, I'm going to need some pillows and some aloe. Like, this is going to be bad, all right? Okay, Mama. You want to see this report card? Like, this one here? The one that I got today? Is that you? Or you want the one from, like, the other day? Like, last 6 weeks. Or back then, we had 6 weeks. We didn't have this 9-week stuff. Last 6 weeks? No, this? Oh, okay. So, imagine how Thomas felt when Jesus says, "Hey, Thomas. Go ahead. Imagine that feeling being Thomas. You watch this man stand outside of a grave and say, "Lazarus, come out!" And a mummy comes walking out of the cave. You watch this man come down and touch a man's eyes, and he began to see. You watch this man calm the storm by just saying, "Peace be still." You watch this man perform miracle after miracle after miracle, and you doubted him. He told you. He sat with you all. He told you that I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to raise up from the ground, and you doubted. How heartbreaking would that be? To know everything that I saw him do. I was even willing to go run and die with this man in Judea if that was what it took. But a little bit of adversity came my way, and I doubted. Is that not how we are in our Christian walk too? Man, we see God move. We pray for things, and we see God move. And then a little bit of adversity comes our way. Start doubting. God, are you there? What do you mean, are you there? Yes, he's there. But we can't help but do it because we're human, because we're modern day Thomases. I was telling Phil the other day, as we were driving, I said, the other day I was praying. I do that. It's a good thing to do. If you don't, I recommend it. And I was praying. And as I was praying, I was having one of those Thomas, not really a Thomas moment. It wasn't necessarily a doubt of, could God do it? It was more of a question of, God, is this what you want? And we should pray that way. We should pray, what does God want? Like, hey, God, this is what I want. This is what I would love to have. But is this what you want for me? Because there's a lot of times if we get what we want, it's going to be a bad situation. We need to pray for God's will in our life. And I get that little Bible app reminder every day that sends you the verse of the day. And for whatever reason, they send me that thing at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why. But so I remember waking up. I don't even know what time it was. I remember waking up and I looked at my phone. And there's this Bible app, verse for the day. And the verse was exactly what I'd been praying about before. Man, I looked at that, and it was one of those moments, like half awake, I'm like, "Jesus, that's you? Where you at?" But we have those moments in our lives where you go to sleep praying after praying, and you've got this on your mind, and you wake up, and you've got a scripture on your phone that's dealing with what you're praying about. We have these times in our lives where the microphone just gets taken right off your ear by the pew. Get out of here. But we have those moments in our lives where it can't help but be God. Don't give me this coincidence stuff. There is no way on earth, I don't care, you could do any kind of math problem you want, there's no statistic on this planet that can tell me that coincidence was sending that message from the Bible app people to my phone the very next morning, probably not even 12 hours from when I had prayed, to here is what a scripture says. That's not coincidence, that's God. And we have those times in our lives where we look back and things were happening in our lives and God showed up and God moved and it wasn't coincidence, it was God. And yet sometimes we're like Thomas. We can go back and just list the things. But then we say, I don't know about it. I don't know if God's going to move this time. I saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. The man came out wrapped up like a mummy with all the spices and everything that they put on him for burial. But you're telling me that Jesus himself rose from the dead? I don't know. Jesus showed himself to Thomas, just like Jesus shows himself to us every day. He shows himself to us in multiple ways in our lives. But then, listen to what he says in verse 29. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. This is a sign of Thomas repenting for his disbelief. My Lord. That word Lord means leader, means king, means ruler. At that moment, in Thomas's brokenness, in Thomas's embarrassment, he said, God, my Lord, my God. In other words, I'm ashamed. And we see a repentant heart in Thomas. But then Jesus said in verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see, it's our job to show Christ to others. Because you know what? We live in a world today that don't want to see. They're blind and they don't care if they see. But it's up to us to show them Christ. In the world and society we live in today, it's very easy for people to just turn a blind eye to church, turn a blind eye to Christ, and just move on with their lives. We haven't physically watched Jesus raise somebody from the dead. We haven't physically watched Christ heal the blind. We haven't physically watched Christ make someone walk that's never walked in their life. We haven't physically seen that. But you know what? We've physically seen God move in ways in our lives that coincidence can't describe and can't explain. You know, I went down to Texas to see a friend of mine, and as we were getting ready to leave, He's a pastor of a church. He's getting ready to leave, and I said, Brother, can we pray? And he said, yeah. We knelt down there at his chair, and we prayed. Tears falling from both of our eyes. He said, you know, we were leaving, and he said, Brother, I believe I'm going to be okay. He said, God's got it taken care of. Dealing with colon cancer and been going through the chemo and the radiation and those kinds of things. He had an appointment this past Tuesday. And text him, and I said, hey, man, how'd the appointment go? He said, well, I'm going to be posting about it here a little bit on Facebook. He said, the scope that they put down in me showed significant shrinkage in the mass. And he said, the MRI results will come back on Friday. He said, but I've got an appointment. They're going to try to do a surgery and get the rest of it out. He said, I told you God was working. You know, that man's had a lot of adversity. I think I told this story last time I was here. Man was 520-something pounds when he and I used to wrestle together. Now he's down to about 250, 260. Man that used to be a mountain of a man can barely walk because of a cane right now. You know, just barely can use that cane to walk, and he gets tired and those kinds of things. The man's met all kinds of adversity. But in that adversity, he's hung on to God because he knows there's no other hope. There's no other way but Christ. And as he gets these positive results, he just continues to praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, I have no doubt that Thomas, after he saw this, he had to go tell somebody. And I'm sure that that story continued to be told. So as Kaylin and the others come this morning, we'll all stand as we prepare for the invitation. I just kind of want to run over a couple things, kind of a review. The question this morning is, are you a modern-day Thomas? And we'll start with that doubting part. Are you that doubting Thomas? Are you that person that has seen God move so many times in your life, but yet you tend to still doubt or still walk away or still not be sure? Maybe you're going through some adversity in your life right now that's making you doubt. Are you that Thomas right now? Are you the Thomas that says, hey, I just want to know the way. I got things going on in my life right now, and I need to know the way. Christ, I need to know the way. Maybe today that will happen for you. Or maybe you're that one right now today that says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have that kind of faith in Christ that says, I'll lay down my life for you. If any of those this morning are you, as they begin to play, the altar is open. I'm up here. Tim's here. Anybody that needs prayer as they sing this morning.